Our opening hymn, number 760, What God Ordains is Always Good. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. For our canticle today, we'll be singing hymn 941. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God. And our closing hymn is a special combination with our Sunday school kids, some of our Sunday school kids, and some of our choir with regard to one of the songs that Vicar has been working with the Sunday school kids for reopening. We'll get the details on that. That gives us something to look forward to as well. One joyous announcement to be able to share with you. Our member, Mark Kranz, several weeks ago started class at the seminary in Fort Wayne. He is just a little bit over halfway through with summer Greek. And on Friday morning, very early on Friday morning, Bethany gave birth to a little girl, Emma Kathleen. So we rejoice with the Kranzes, and I can't imagine the stress of a new baby during summer grief, but gives us an extra opportunity to pray as well. So thanks be to God for the gift. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gifts that you give us, the gift of life, the gift of new life at the baptismal font, the gift of those who bring the good news of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are those feet, Lord. We ask you to bless the Kranz family in Fort Wayne and bless Mark especially as he truly begins his study for the office of the Holy Ministry. We thank you for a great year with Vicar Williams, and we ask that you would not only bless him today, but continue to bless him in his preparations for the office of the Holy Ministry. Give us ears and hearts that yearn to hear your word in its truth and purity. Law and gospel, sin and grace, hell and heaven. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen, take away the sin of the world. Hymn 760.
Thank you. Worship, the Order of Matins, page 219. We stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Lord, and to us all, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship you. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise from the cross of
to our introit, we chant it together.
Thank you.
office hymn at number 741, stanzas 1 through 4. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge, and has made my way blameless. He has made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it was written, "The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With the merciful, the Lord shows Himself to be merciful. With the blameless man, the Lord shows Himself to be blameless. With the purified, the Lord deals purely. But who among you is merciful, that the Lord should show to you mercy? who among you is blameless, that the Lord should show Himself to be blameless to you. Who among you is wholly pure, that the Lord should deal with you purely. Well, as it turns out, none of you are merciful to the extent that the Lord owes to you mercy. None of you are blameless to the extent that the Lord should show Himself to be blameless to you. None of you are wholly pure that the Lord should deal purely with you. Make no mistake, our Old Testament reading does not have King David praising and lauding men who lack mercy, blamelessness, and purity. He himself, in the very same book, proves this to be true. He's found to be an adulterer, a murderer, a sneak, and a scoundrel. He tried to cover up his own sin with fig leaves, only to have it exposed by the preaching of the prophet Nathan. No, David is lauding and praising God, who is a strong refuge against even himself, but also against man, who is not merciful, who is not blameless, who is not pure. But don't simply take stock of the sins of the king. With the crooked, the Lord shows himself, makes himself seem torturous. Who among you is crooked, that the Lord should show himself to be crooked toward you? That question is much more inclusive. As it turns out, all of mankind is best described as crooked. All of you are best described as crooked, and for your crookedness, you have deserved torture. Consider, if you will, the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. That commandment, above all others, requires mercy. And yet how many of you backbite or speak against your friends, your own family members, church members, and your pastors? Luther is quite right in the Large Catechism when he says that men love to hear their own praises, but they cannot stand to hear the praise of their neighbor. Thus, it's easier for you to lie about your neighbor, to betray him, slander him, and hurt his reputation, than in mercy and in love, defend him, to speak well of him, and above all, to explain everything in the kindest way. Consider the first table of the law. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those commandments, above all others, require blamelessness and purity. But how many of your idols find a place above God on the shelf, the one true God who gives you all that you need to support this body and life? It's also often the case that many absent themselves from Sunday morning worship. Now, that preaching doesn't do them any good because they're not here. But even you who are here, do not think that fulfillment of the third commandment means you simply come and sit in a pew. No, the third commandment, above all else, requires attentive listening to the read word, to the liturgy, to the preaching. Which means there can be no excuses because of the shortcomings or the idiosyncrasies of the guy behind the pulpit, whether he be too boring on the one hand or overenthusiastic on the other hand. And the reason for this is because it is the word of the Lord that is heard from the lectern, in the liturgy, and in the sermon. And for that reason, it requires and demands your unfettered, attentive devotion. And so, not making a pitch for myself, no one, not even me, should go out of this sanctuary after the service complaining that they got nothing out of it. That's your own fault. As it turns out, the law of God leaves none unaccused, none uncondemned. If the Lord's mercy, blamelessness, and purity toward you depended upon your mercy, your blamelessness and your purity, suffice it to say, you are without hope and you will die in your sin. But the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us there. For King David goes on to confess, this God, His way is perfect. And for the baptized, that is good news. The way of the Lord is perfect. That is to say, it is without stain of sin, death, decay, and hell. The way of the Lord is perfect. That means it is upright, righteous, holy, and pure. The way of the Lord is perfect to the extent that sinful man cannot understand it or know about it apart from the revelation of the Word. The way of the Lord is perfect to the extent that sinful man cannot appropriate it to himself apart from faith, which trusts that the Word of the Lord proves true. And there is more than that. For David goes on to say, this God, whose way is perfect, has made my way and your way blameless. Now, the ESV translation of this verse does us no great favors in understanding the astonishment of what David confesses. For the word blameless there is the very same word perfect in the phrase, this God, His way is perfect. Indeed, when David confesses that with the blameless man, the Lord shows Himself blameless, it ought better to read, with the perfect man, the Lord shows Himself to be perfect. And this is important, because blamelessness does not always assume perfection, but perfection most assuredly assumes blamelessness. So the second verse ought to read, God has made my way, has made your way perfect. Now, who knows why there is this inconsistency in our translation? But perhaps it's due in part to the fact that it's difficult to understand how man's way can be said to be perfect. How David's way could be said to be perfect in light of what we know about him and in light of what we know about ourselves at the preaching of God's law. It is difficult to believe that man's way could be said to be perfect because everything you see, everything you experience, suggests the contrary to be true. How can man's way be perfect? God's way is perfect, but man's cannot be. At least that's the way it appears. And yet Christ our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount says, you therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Indeed, holiness and perfection, mercifulness and blamelessness and purity are the demand for those of you who wish to see the kingdom of God. And thanks be to God that to David and to you, the Lord says, I have made your way perfect. Now, how can this be? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which He was conceived, took on a true human nature. He took on your flesh and blood. He took on the form of a servant. And in the flesh and blood that you wear now as a garment that fades to dust, He became the merciful one for your sake. Christ Jesus, in the flesh and blood that is common to all man, perfectly and purely submitted Himself to the Father's will. He became merciful, perfect, and pure to you. Indeed, that is the reason for which the Father sends Him out. And yet, Christ is dealt with as the crooked man and is tortured for your sake. He who knew no sin, that is, He who knew no unmercifulness, He who knew no imperfection, He who knew no impurity, became as the one who deserves the just judgment for your lack of mercy, for your lack of perfection, for your lack of purity. Indeed, the eyes of the Father's wrath were upon Jesus as the haughty one. And in turn, He brought Him down. Or rather, He raised Him up upon the cross. And hanging there and dying there, Christ Jesus takes away your imperfection and blemishes. Takes away your impurity and stains, because He became those things for your sake, so that your way could be cleansed and wholly pure before God. How is your way made perfect? Well, certainly not through your works, but through faith, which receives the perfect righteousness, the purity, the holiness, the mercy, the inestimable benefits of Christ Jesus in His perfect life and in His obedient death. Consider this quote from Luther on this very subject. The believing soul, all of you, can boast of and glory in whatever Christ has as though it were its own. And whatever the soul has, Christ claims as His own. Let us compare these and we shall see the inestimable benefits. Christ is full of grace, life, and salvation. That is, He is full of mercy, perfection, and purity. The soul is full of sins, death, and damnation. That is, the soul is full of unmercifulness, imperfection, and impurity. Now let faith come between them, and sins, death, and damnation will be Christ's, while grace, life, and salvation will be the soul's, will be yours. For if Christ is a bridegroom, He must take upon Himself the things which are His bride's, and bestow upon her the things that are His. If He gives her His body and very self, how shall He not give her all that is His? And if He takes the body of the bride, how shall He not take all that is hers? So the roles are reversed. Thanks be to God. Jesus, who deserved to be dealt with according to the Lord's mercy, Jesus, who deserved to be dealt with according to the Lord's perfection and purity, was dealt with as the crooked man. So that you, the crooked men, can be and are dealt with according to the Lord's mercy, perfectly and purely. Christ Jesus has made your feet as the feet of a deer, that run unbound from sin's true consequences. The word of the Lord proves true. Your way is perfect in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has been poured out upon you in the waters of holy baptism, and indeed is your refuge and your strength, the height upon which you sit even now as you wait the consummation of the age. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Congregation stands. We continue with hymn 941.
Thank you.
you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. That again, be thrilled. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Be sure to list your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ Jesus alone will be yours today and forever. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain your petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The response for our prayers today will be, Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with the Krantz family, the gift of a baby girl, Emma Kathleen, and we also mourn with Good Shepherd member Ralph Harper at the passing of his wife this week. We pray. For mercy for ourselves, that we would be quick to show mercy to others, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For growth in the knowledge of God's Word, that we would rest securely in Christ, our rock, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a right understanding of our own weakness and frailty, that we would not become proud, but rather always cling to Christ and His forgiveness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that we would not fall prey to grumbling, adultery, idolatry, disbelief, and other great shame and vice. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are called to preach throughout the world, especially the pastors of our sister synods around the world, missionaries like Dr. Allman in Germany, those who are preparing for the office of the Holy Ministry, Mark Kranz, Vicar Scammon, Vicar Williams, that they would not be lured away into false doctrine and lead others astray, but they would be preserved by the truth of God's Word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our government, and especially the election process that we are currently undergoing, that those with authority would not only be shrewd in their dealings, but that they would act with love, righteousness, and devotion to the common good. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are sick or otherwise suffering, especially this day, we pray for Renos, Anne, Frederick, Kelly, Marge Kelly, Tish, Bonnie, Vernita, Lynn, Celeste, Marlene, Ken, Diane, Chris, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Jan, Callie, Clee, Dale, Gerald, Sonia, Julie, Nancy, Sharon, Dwayne, Charlie, Connie, Cleo, Lon, and all those that we remember in our hearts, that they would be given strength to endure their trials until God removes them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a right fear of the Lord, that we would not abandon His truth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For a right love of the Lord, that we would fervently show mercy and thereby cover a multitude of sins, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a right trust of the Lord, that in repentance we would return to our baptism daily, and that in faith we would receive often His body and blood in the supper, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day, especially Ralph Harper and his family, that their comfort would be in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of life, all expectant mothers, the Kranz family as they celebrate the gift of a daughter, Emma Kathleen, and for all those in any stage of life, from womb to tomb, that they realize the gift that life is and that all good gifts come from You. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For our closing hymn today, 864, our Good Shepherd School students will sing verse 1. The congregation is invited to join in on the rest of the verses 2 through 5. Hymn 864. Thank you to the kids. Thanks for the choir. Their special song of blessing for Vicar Williams and family. We have a big day today. Again, bittersweet, but please join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We are winding down our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, and right at the end of the book, you get to see the joys of youth and the reality of getting old. And so, from womb to tomb, from beginning to end, right there in God's words, and God is with us, blessing us all the way through. Coffee and goodies, Bible study, 5 o'clock, fellowship meal, and Vicar roast. Vicar, it's been a great year, but it's just begun this day. Bob, where are you at? Come on down, Bob. Oh, you brought your own mic. All right.
Vicar Williams, sorry for the delay. It has become the custom here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church for the Tuesday morning's men Bible class to present to the outgoing vicar a small token of our appreciation for your year here. And to this, I present you with this plaque of remembrance of your time here. The words on the plaque read, "In August 2015, a young man arrived at Good Shepherd Lutheran. This young man arrived with the appearance of a prophet of old. He came not prophesying to the events yet to come. He came telling of the greatest prophecy ever spoken, fulfilled in the person and works of Jesus Christ, that promise that laid down his life, only to rise again for the salvation of the whole world. Vicar Williams now departs from among us here at Good Shepherd Lutheran. He returns to the seminary to complete his studies for the office of the Holy Ministry. Vicar Williams, as you leave the people gathered here in Lincoln, Nebraska, you no longer be with us in body, but will always be with our hearts in prayers. The verse chosen for Vicar Williams on this plaque is Psalm 133 in its entirety. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like a dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has committed his blessing, life forever." And then it also engraved is, "Vicar Marcus Williams, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska, August 2015 to August 2016. Vicar, thank you for your year of dedicated service here, and we know that wherever you go, the service will continue in the Lord's name. God's blessings wherever you go."
Disappointed that the gentleman who usually presents this is not with us today. He had family business out of town. This was a project that was started about 10 years ago by Bob Van Valkenburg, and the stones that were behind the cross there, they were a part of the south wall on the church. And when we did the construction here, we had a whole bunch of these rocks left over, and so Bob decided that he was going to get a piece of the rock and present it to the vicars. And then we discovered that the south wall of that structure and behind there is made of Maliki? Yes. Yeah, okay. Maliki limestone. All right. Researchers have said that the Hill of Calvary, the place where our Savior was crucified, was essentially Maliki limestone. Coincidentally, such stone is found at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the place where it is believed Jesus was buried. That's pretty cool. All right. So, as you look upon this small rock, perhaps when you are finishing your studies, perhaps when you are writing a sermon after ordination, or perhaps in just quiet times, when you reflect upon your calling in God's kingdom, your heart may be warmed by knowing that all of us, our good shepherd, have had and will keep you in our prayers.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Yeah, see, we give Him gifts and then we take them right away. Because we have to do this again for the second service. All right, yeah, so now the thrill is gone or the newness is off or whatever. Pastor, anything else?
I think you thought again of a bottle of beard oil.
Oh, yeah. It was about 3 weeks into Vicarage when Bob came in and shared with me that verse he already had picked out for the Vicar farewell. So, if you want to know, get a little bit of a preview of the roast tonight, there's a very, very distinguishing feature about Vicar that it would just be impossible to not notice and maybe make just a little bit of fun of. So pray that he's a really good sport. Okay.
That's completely Vicar unrelated. Congregation, because we've been talking about with church leadership and the voters assembly and so on and so forth. The school has been seeking to hire a new teacher since probably March. I think we started the search. We have hired a new teacher, so we have an additional teacher for upper grades has been hired, and she'll be, of course, starting when the school year begins. So we give God great thanks and praise that He has provided. The name is Joy Barefoot is the name, so an interesting last name, but we're very, very glad to have her on board. And thanks be to God, He tested our patience and He tested our trust in that He was going to provide for our school, and He did. He did in His good time. Thanks be to God.
Well, we've got 3 or 4 weeks before school.
Yeah.
please join us for coffee and goodies. Come back again this evening. We rejoice with Vicar and the transition here. And next Sunday, we will install our new Vicar Scammon. Thanks be to God for His gifts. Great day in the Lord.